This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel according to John chapter 1. This morning, we are looking at John's account of Christ coming into the world, which is very different from the other Gospels. The other Gospels record the events of what took place, the angels, the shepherd, the manger. And when we look at John, he gives us the behind the scenes theological perspective of Christ coming into this world, of the light shining into the darkness. As we've been looking at the prophecies of Christ's birth over the last few Sundays, last week we looked at Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And John seems to be picking up that theme of Christ as the light shining into the darkness as he describes Christ's birth, as the Word becoming flesh. Before we turn our attention to God's Word this morning, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about the truth and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, the evangelist Harry Ironside was once preaching outdoors in San Francisco. And as he was preaching, a famous atheist came up to him and handed him a card. And the card read, "Sir, I challenge you to a debate with me, or to debate with me the question, agnosticism versus Christianity, in the Academy of Science Hall next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Ironside read this card aloud, and then he replied, "I am very much interested in this challenge. Therefore, I will be glad to agree to this debate on the following conditions. Namely, in order to prove that this man has something worth fighting for and worth debating about, he will promise to bring with him to the hall next Sunday two people. One man who was for years under the power of evil habits, from which he could not deliver himself, but who on some occasion heard the glorification of agnosticism or atheism, and his denunciations of the Bible and Christianity, and whose heart and mind, as he listened to such an address, were so deeply stirred that he went away from the meeting saying, 'Henceforth, I too am an agnostic.' And as a result of imbibing that particular philosophy, found that a new power had come into his life. The sins he once loved, he now hates, and righteousness and goodness are now the ideals of his life, all because he was an agnostic, an atheist." And Ironside also asked the atheist to bring a woman who had similarly been delivered from corrupt living by the power of unbelief. And then Ironside turned to his side of the bargain. He said, "I will bring with me at least 100 men and women who for years lived in just such a sinful degradation as I have tried to depict, but who have been gloriously saved through believing the gospel which you ridicule. I will have these men and women with me on the platform as witnesses to the miraculous saving power of Jesus Christ, as a present day proof of the truth of the Bible." And at this, the atheist walked away. Because while Ironside could easily produce 100 men and women transformed by the light of Jesus Christ, the secular debater could not even provide one who had been changed for the better by his philosophy. Ironside's point was that the light of Christ possesses life-transforming power. A life-transforming power that atheism doesn't. John 1, verse 1 through 18, introduces us to this life-transforming power of the light of Christ. Here is an introduction to the gospel of John. And as John is introducing us to his gospel, he uses all these various themes that he uses to describe Christ and why Christ came in order to save us. He uses themes like the Word becoming flesh and life and light, all to describe Jesus Christ. John 1 is introducing us to the true light that has come into the world, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. The light of the world shining through us. As we look at this passage this morning, we'll first of all be looking at how Jesus is the light who has come. Second, that he is the light we receive. And then third and finally, he's the light we proclaim. And so first, he is the light who has come. Verse 9 tells us that the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Verse 4, in him it was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here John, as I mentioned earlier, is describing the spiritual behind-the-scenes events of Christ coming into the world. In front, you have the events that Luke and Matthew and even Mark refer to of Jesus and his birth and all of the events that led up to that. Kind of the facts of Christ coming into this world. But now John is approaching things from a theological or a spiritual perspective. Describing Jesus as the light. Describing the world as darkness. And Christ is the light shining into that darkness. Now what does John mean when he says that Jesus Christ is the light of men, or the light shining into the darkness? What does John mean by that? Is the light Jesus himself? Or is the light the message of the gospel, the message of salvation? Or is the light our own understanding and illumination, enlightenment? Well, the answer to each of those questions is yes. With this title, Jesus is revealed as the one who knows God the Father and the one who makes him known. Light is the universal image for the illumination of the mind through understanding. Before Christ came into the world was in darkness. The world did not know God. And then Christ, who is the light, came and he shone his light before men. The men had the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is what John is testifying about. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light. John wasn't the light. He was testifying, witnessing to the light. John goes on to explain that the life in Christ comes as a light shining in the darkness. When you look at verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light is one of John's great themes. And right at the beginning of his gospel, you have him tying his gospel to the very beginning of Scripture. Look at the first words that John uses in his gospel, in the beginning. You flip over to Genesis chapter 1, and we read the words, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And what did God say? What is the word that God spoke into the darkness? Let there be light. And there was light. And now John is picking up on that and saying the Word has become flesh in Jesus Christ. Into the darkness, the Word, Jesus Christ, is light. And that light is the life of man. So here we have John dovetailing his gospel with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word becoming flesh, and that Word being life, and that Word being light, the true light which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And the first thing that this light does when it's shining into the darkness is to illuminate or to reveal, to light up. When you first walk into a dark room, you flip the light switch in order to see something. And this is what Isaiah was saying when he prophesied about Christ's coming. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those who live in dwelt in the land of deep darkness, a light has shone. And that way, man was living in spiritual darkness. Ignorance about God and living in superstition even. And so Jesus came to tell us about God, to reveal God, to make him known. You see it in verse 18 in our passage. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. So Christ as the light is revealing, making the Father known to us, making God known to us. Before Christ came into the world was in darkness. The world did not know God. Christ came, his light shone before men, and then men had the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But the problem in our passage this morning is that this light did not get a good response. Darkness, part of the spiritual reality that John is describing, seems to be fighting back here. You see that the darkness has not overcome it. And so you have this struggle, this battle. But the darkness has not eclipsed the light or snuffed out the light or conquered the light. So we've already explored the light that has come and all the various facets and aspects of that light. But what is the darkness that we're talking about here? Well, to answer that question, it's helpful to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is using the analogy of darkness as he describes unbelief. Here's what Ephesians 4 verse 17 says. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Notice how you've got understanding, you've got life, you've got darkness, thinking. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So here, darkness is described in terms of thinking, believing, understanding, a lack of illumination. The futility of their thinking, Paul says. So the unbelieving mindset is so distorted that it's described as futile. They aren't in relationship with God. And so their thinking suffers the consequence. They've lost touch with reality. Their mind has been darkened. Darkened in their understanding. Paul goes out of his way to emphasize the mental side of those who are separated from God. Their mindset, their worldview, their way of thinking and understanding has been drastically affected. Their thinking has been darkened. They're not illumined, but they're living in darkness. You could say the light hasn't turned on for them. Sometimes in cartoons, when the character has an idea, there's a light bulb on top of their head, and all of a sudden the light turns on. Now they get it. They've got an idea. If we take this analogy a little bit further, Christ is the light who has come, but he's also the power, the electricity for us. When we are plugged into Christ, we shine, we light up, we are illumined. And so when John is talking about the darkness, it's the darkness or the evil environment, the sphere in which people find themselves in. It's not only absence of light, but it's also the presence of sin, the presence of evil. They loved darkness rather than the light, John will say in chapter 3. Those who follow Jesus don't walk in darkness, he points out in chapter 8. They are to walk while they have the light, lest the darkness overtake or overcome them. And it's the same verb that we have in verse 5 here. And so for John, with this his set of symbols and imagery, darkness is not something which seeks to understand or comprehend the light, but rather it's a force of evil that's trying to overcome or conquer the light. We don't often think in terms like that. When you go into a room and you flip on the light and everything's hooked up and all the light bulbs are working, the lights turn on. And we never worry about the darkness creeping in and taking over the light. We have the lights on in our building right now, and no one's probably concerned. Oh, the darkness is creeping in, and pretty soon it's going to overcome the light, and this time the darkness is going to win, and we won't have any light. That's the imagery that John is using to describe Christ. a competition between darkness and light, but light always wins. Even the smallest light pierces through the darkness. I can remember a commercial a few years ago about the human eye being able to see the light of a candle flame football fields away. When we look at stars on a clear night, their light has pierced a distance that is light years away. And now John is taking that reality and he's applying it to Jesus Christ, the light that pierces the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world who has come. Our second point this morning is that Jesus is the light of the world that we receive. He is the light we receive. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so Jesus is the light of the world who has come into the world. John 3 verse 19 explains it like this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Verse 10 in our passage, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own and his own people, those he came for, did not receive him. Even receive has the idea of understanding, of accepting, translated as receiving or learning from him. And so what is the light? Well, the simple answer here is that the light is Jesus. But notice how the references to light are being used. What is the light? When we're talking about light, we're talking about light in reference to Jesus. We have seen his glory, his brilliance, his shining. But this light is more than just the way that we would describe a light bulb or a light that's turned on. Light is also associated, it's also connected with the Word. It's connected with life. It's connected with glory. It's connected with salvation. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, Isaiah 40 says. That glory, that glory, that brilliance, that shining. And Luke is picking up on that in chapter 3, verse 5, when he says, all mankind will see God's salvation. And so the glory of God is the salvation of God, the salvation of mankind. And that glory is being described in terms of light and brightness and shining and brilliance. And the glory is Christ, the light, shining, illuminating, saving. And so what does John mean when he describes Jesus as the light? Is it that Jesus is in himself is the light? Or is it the message, the gospel of salvation, illumination that's being brought? Or is it the understanding, us finally being illumined? And once again, the answer to each of those questions is yes. Salvation, light, is the reason Christ has come. The light has come and we are enlightened when we believe in his name. The light bulb comes on, so to speak, when we realize by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the light shining into the darkness. We're grasping, we're comprehending. And that's accomplished in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. A knowledge and a conviction. But to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Look at the structure there. Verse 12. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children. So what do we have here? First, but to those who received him. But to all who did receive him. So first comes receiving him. And second comes believing in his name. So you have receiving and believing. To those who have received, to those who have believed, what is the result of that receiving and believing? He gave the right to become children of God. So here you are receiving. It's a call to receive Christ, to receive the light. Receiving Christ is in the same light as believing in Christ. Those who receive him, those who believe in his name are given the right to become children of God. Receive. Believe. And then are given the status of children. What do I have to do here? What am I being called to do here? Called to receive, we're called to believe, but even this is God's work by his Holy Spirit. It's described in the past tense to those who have, to all who did receive, those who believed in his name. John's describing something that's already happened. You received Christ, you believed in Christ, and so God has given you the right to become his child. Christ is the light who has come. And our response to that light is receiving and believing him as the light. Christ is the light that we receive. Our third and our final point this morning is that Christ is the light that we proclaim. Christ, he is the light we proclaim. Verse 15, John bore witness to the light. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from the fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Christ. There was a man, verse 6, sent by God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light." Why? Why is John witnessing to the light? What was the point of John telling people about the light? That all might believe through him. The point is faith in Jesus Christ. John wasn't the light. He's simply bearing witness to the light. And now Jesus is the light that we are bearing witness to, that we are testifying about, that we are proclaiming. Jesus is the light of the world shining through us. Jesus is the light that we shine. We shine Christ, the light of the world, when we tell others about the light, when we share the good news of salvation with others. Christ shines through us when we tell, when we proclaim, when we cry out to others about what Christ has done. The light has come. We receive the light, and now we're sharing that light. Verse 8, John wasn't the light. He's just witnessing to it. Verse 15, John bore witness. He testified. He cried out to the light, about the light, about Jesus Christ. We shine Christ, the light of the world, when we tell others. Christ is shining through us when we share the good news of salvation that is ours in him through faith. When we tell others that he has come for you. And this is how, on the one hand, Jesus is described as the light, but on the other hand, we are described as light. When you receive Christ, when you receive Jesus as your Lord, you become a child of God. You become a Christian. You become enlightened or lit up. You're no longer in darkness, but rather you're living in light. And it's not like we're making up this message that we're proclaiming. We are shining, we are proclaiming, we are reflecting, you could say, the light that is shining onto us from Christ. What is flowing to us from Christ by the Holy Spirit is what we're shining and sharing with others. That's why Jesus in Matthew 5 verse 14 says that you are the light of the world. It's not a command, go and be light, go and shine, but rather, this is who you are. You are the light of the world. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. Not a description of what's going to happen, but a description of who you are when you are plugged into Christ. You are going to shine. You are going to light up. You are illumined. You're the light of the world. And so if you're currently not shining, sharing, proclaiming, then maybe you're not plugged in. Is the light that John is talking about Jesus himself? Or is it the message of salvation? Is it the gospel? Or is it us understanding and being illumined? Or is it us sharing the gospel? And the answer to each of these questions is yes. Jesus came as the light shining in the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world shining through us. And that's why in Ephesians 4, Paul says that you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. It's not that you will be light. It's that you already now in Jesus Christ are light. And the responsibilities flow from who you are in Christ. It's not saying that you will be light or that you're reflecting light, but rather that you are the light. And that's the reason and the motivation behind our obedience to God. And us not being involved in the darkness or the immorality or impurity of the darkness. The motivation is who we are in Christ, the union that we have with Jesus. He's the light of the world. And when we're united to Him, we are the light of the world as well. And so as we conclude this morning, how do we live this out? How do we let our light shine? Well, one, it's with what you say. Your word. Just like God spoke at the very beginning, Word, let there be light. The Word has become flesh. He's the light of the world. Well, John here is testifying, proclaiming, witnessing, sharing the gospel, crying out. Through our testimony, through our proclamation that Christ is Lord, we are spreading, shining the light of Jesus. Giving testimony to what He has done, talking about it. Just like God spoke and there was light. Just like the light is described as the Word. We use our words to let our light shine. It's what we say. And it's also what we do. Word and deed. Matthew 5 verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. How? That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So it's through our actions that our light shines into the darkness as well. People of God, we live in a day of darkness. When the gospel is under attack, when the good news, the light, is trying to be snuffed out. But what we know is that the darkness is not going to overcome it. We see the darkness, we experience. People are calling evil good and good evil. Yet we don't live in a day that has no hope. We have confidence as we cry out to the Lord that He will let the light of His saving glory shine. Because Jesus is the light of the world shining through us. Jesus is the light who has come. Jesus is the light we receive. And Jesus is the light that we proclaim. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, thanking and praising you for sending Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, as a light into the darkness of this world. And we pray, Lord, that as we receive Him, believe in Him, more and more we'll be able to proclaim Him, proclaim the light, share the good news of the gospel. Lord, enable us, we pray, to let our light shine, to be the light of the world, to not hide, but rather to shine, letting our light shine before men, that they may hear the gospel, see what we are doing, and praise you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.